The first scripture reading is found in the first Kings, the third chapter. And we begin the reading at verse 4. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon
in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give you." Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. You have kept for him this great and steadfast love and have given him a son to sit on his throne this day. Now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of David, my father, although I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. Your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted for multitude. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this, your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. And God said to him, "Because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemy, and have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind so that none like you has been before you, and none like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that no other king shall compare with you all your days. And if you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days." Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and offered up burnt offerings and peace offerings, and made a feast for all his servants. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is found in the Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter, and we begin reading at verse 40. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom. The favor of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it. But supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. When they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances, and when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. His mother treasured up all these things in her heart. Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you. From God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. Text is based on your gospel lesson for today. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. This is our text. As I mentioned, I believe, last Sunday, the Gospels have different purposes in the events that they choose to record from the life of Jesus. The Gospel of Luke, outside of the birth of Christ, is the only one that tells us what happened to Jesus between the time he was born and the time he begins his ministry around the age of 30. His presentation at the temple to perform the rites of circumcision and other rites that the Jewish law prescribed was one of them. That was our gospel lesson for this last week. And Luke also records that at the age of 12, which is kind of close to our confirmation age, Jesus attends Passover. Because it was at that age that you became what's called in the Jewish language a child of the commandments or a bar mitzvah. Mitzvah being the word for command and bar being the word for a son. At age 12, you became obligated to follow all the laws that the people of Israel were prescribed. And so we learn that at the age of 12, Jesus keeps the Passover. Luke shares these things so that we can understand that even as a child, Jesus was perfect. That there was no sin that Jesus committed. That from infancy, literally on, he was the pure, the holy Lamb of God. But this particular incident that was our gospel lesson for today also could be used for another purpose. In terms of understanding that Jesus must have been God, because he's unlike any child that I have ever confirmed. Being a somewhat traditional pastor, I have some of my confirmands before me today. One of the practices I have carried out throughout my ministry and had to endure myself was questioning. People remember that? Usually it's around 70 questions, and I always make sure that they never know exactly what question they're going to get. I remember one of the very first questionings that I had for confirmation back when I was serving in Mount Pleasant. I had a class of about 8 or 9 students. I asked the first question, got a good answer. Asked the second question, got a good answer. Asked the third question, and the student broke out into tears. From that time forth, I always prepared my confirmation students well in advance of confirmation that there is no crying at examination night. You can't do that. No crying in baseball, and there's no crying in confirmation questioning. But I'm quite confident through the many years that I've conducted confirmation questioning that none of my students actually looked forward to it. They approached it with fear and trepidation, which is how I know that Jesus had to be Son of God, because not only does he endure questioning, he endures it for 3 days, sitting in the temple. It's like he welcomed it. I've never had a confirmation student be like that. And not only did he ask questions, but he answered them as well. And they were amazed at his understanding and his answers. So one of the questions is, what was so amazing about what Jesus was saying? And if you understand, or you can still read, through Jewish law as it was practiced and talked about in the ancient world and even still today, you'll get an idea as you then read through the teachings of Jesus in the New Testament, how different he was. Jewish law and the way we often approach our own laws today was always focused on the deed. What can you do? What can't you do? How far can you go? How far can't you go? For instance, Jewish law was very concerned with the Sabbath, making sure that you keep it properly. The Bible tells us we're not supposed to work on the Sabbath, but it really doesn't define that. What is work? Well, the rabbis made sure that that definition was exact and precise. I've shared this one before, but you could walk through a grain field, and if you could pick up a single grain of wheat and rub it between your fingers, you could eat it. But if you picked up a handful of grain and you rubbed it in your hand and ate it, that was called harvesting, and that was work, and you couldn't do it. So, could you walk on the Sabbath? Yes, but how far? Well, they had a definition for that. It was about a half mile. And if you go to ancient Jewish cities and walk about a half mile outside of them, all around the city, you'll find little rock piles marking where a half mile was. But there were ways around it. Not defined by Scripture, but they found ways around that half mile limitation. If you go to New York City, for instance, today, you might want to wait till after the COVID thing is over with. But if you go there and look up in the sky, in the more Jewish communities, you'll see an 18-mile, very, very thin, almost invisible wire going all the way around the city, the Jewish community, about 18 miles worth of it. You see, you could walk all day inside your house without making the law of work. But you couldn't walk a half mile outside of your residence. And so in New York City, it's called an eruv. It's an 18-mile wire that marks their residence. And within that wire, because that wire is there, they can walk 5 miles, 6 miles if they want, to visit people, to conduct business on the Sabbath, without breaking the Sabbath law. We get so focused on the do's and the don'ts. And it's not just the Jews that do that. Every time Congress passes a bill, it's about this thick. And every year, it seems, we try to write more regulations and more regulations to define what a person can do and can't do. And yet, every year also, it seems, that the world becomes more perverse, more cruel, filled with more anger and more hatred. The problem is, my friends, as Jesus so well understood, and I believe even as a child, you can't make a person righteous by writing more rules, regulations. The real problem with humanity is the heart. Why were they so astonished with the answers of Jesus? Because they were all focused on the deeds. You can find that out for yourself. You read the ancient Jewish manuscripts. But when you listen to the preaching of Jesus, as found throughout the Gospels, and later expounded upon by the apostles. The real problem is the human heart. The question is not, what did we do? The question is, why did we do it? When you're focused on what did you do, the solution seems to be, we need another regulation about what people are doing. But when you understand that the issue is the human heart, then you need to answer the question. Why do we do it? Why do people load a bunch of explosives into a van and drive downtown Nashville, blow it up? You're not going to solve problems like that with more regulations. Human heart. That's what we need to address. And what is wrong with the human heart? It's filled with fears and doubts, worries, guilt, hatred. You can't command those things away. You can't regulate those things away. That is why Jesus came, preaching a different message. As I've explained many times before, it begins with repent, which does not change what you're doing, it's change how you're thinking. Repent. And believe the gospel, the good news. That's what Jesus came to change. How we think about life and how we think about ourselves. To believe that there is a loving and gracious God who has a plan for our life, and it's a good plan. Plan not only to help us, but to help others through us. That far from believing that there is no hope to the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, there always is going to be hope. When you think you're lonely, forgotten about, to know that there is a loving and a merciful God who's sitting there counting the hairs on your head, who doesn't even let a sparrow fall to the ground without his knowledge. And if you doubt whether or not he really loves and cares about you, take a look at the cross. Because if you alone were the only person in all of humanity who needed redemption, Jesus Christ would still have come to this earth and experienced the humility, pain, suffering the cross just for you. When you come forward for the Lord's Supper, he is saying to you, take and eat. This is my body given for you. Take and drink. This is my blood shed for you. These are the messages that change human hearts. They're the message that Christ came to bring. And if we want to be God's vehicle for changing what is going on in our world today, these are the messages we need to bring to other people. Regulations aren't going to solve things. More commands aren't going to change the human heart. But hope, love, forgiveness, these are the things that Christ brought into this world. Change the evil and wicked heart of man. We are God's chosen instrument to bring that understanding to the world we live in. A world obsessed with do's and don'ts that will be and should be amazed when they hear the real truth and the real answers for the human condition, which isn't found in answering the question, what should we do? It's found in the answer to why we do things. And when those answers come from the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that's when we'll begin to see changes, not only in what we do in life, but in others who've heard that same precious word, you and I believe. God grant that as we sit and visit with people each and every day, talking about what's wrong with this world and how to fix it, and what was once said of Jesus can also be said of us. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. My dear friends in Christ, we have the answers. Let's share them. Amen. Now, may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.